Anybody here expecting to make heaven? We don't know the direction we'll go. We don't know if it'll be by the trumpet sound and catching away the saints and the dead in Christ rising and us meeting them in the sky. We don't know exactly how that's going to happen. You know, we've heard it preached. How many has heard preachers preach about the rapture of the church or the catching away of the saints? Anybody ever heard that? Have we seen it yet? No. Do we still believe it? I tell you, folks, it's not up to me to figure out how it's going to happen. It's up to me to be ready when it happens. Now, I don't know. You know, we never know. As I said, we can leave this life by way of sickness in our body or by way of accident or whatever the case may be, because you realize you and I don't have the promise of tomorrow. But we need to be looking and need to be expecting. And just, I think it's very easy for even those not being even very in-depth in the Scriptures, not saying that I am, but I think it's even easier for the world to see how this thing is winding up. It's very obvious in how that things can be going that direction. But the good thing is, when we know Him, if our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'll be making heaven my journey. How about you? Anybody got your name wrote down? I do. I'm planning on staying there, and I am going to make heaven one day. 23rd Psalms, if you got that in your Bible. Maybe just able to quote it for me. 23rd Psalms. Hallelujah. There's about humpteen different messages to preach out of these six verses here. And I've touched on some of this before, and I'm going to touch on it again today. If you got 23rd Psalms found, stand with me. We appreciate you being here. I know we're glad to see a little better weather out there. And, the weather's bad, the weather's good. God's still good. Hallelujah. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this another day. We ask that You bless those that are here this morning. Give them strength, Lord. Touch their lives. If one doesn't know You, we pray that You'll speak to their heart this morning. Minister, Lord, in this service, anoint us to preach Your word. We realize that time is running out. It's time that we draw close to You. Lord, we just want to thank You this morning and praise You for Your blessings. Touch lives here today, and we'll give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as I said, many, many directions that we have went in times past. There's no telling how many messages have been preached in the 23rd Psalms. And I have preached several of them myself, no longer than I've been preaching. But I want to focus on the last verse of this morning. And just the first part of that scripture and on through that verse there. How many wants to dwell in the house of the Lord? We're going to dwell. And you know, I look today and I see so much discord in people's lives and so easily distracted. And I tell you, folks, this is the last time, the worst time to be distracted is today. We need to really settle in and say, it doesn't matter what's around me, I'm going to serve the Lord. How many is going to serve Him? Because I can tell you, we talked in the Scriptures today, in the Sunday school, there's a devil out there to steal, to kill and destroy. And he does not care what it takes to destroy you. If we will give him an inch, he'll take 10 miles. If we allow him to give us some kind of problems, he'll take all advantage of it. Now, we look at this today in this Scripture in the Psalms, and I tell you what, you look back at David's life, and he absolutely, when he penned these words, he knew what he was talking about. He knew what it was like to be down. He knew what it was like to have an empty cup. He knew what it was like to be walking down through the shadow of death. David knew what it was like to have loss in his life. How many knows that? David also knew what it was like to have a God that forgive him of his sins. How many is glad for that? David also knew what it was like to have the authority of that rod and that staff in his life, that he could come against anything that come before him and be victorious. David knew about that authority he had through his Lord and Savior. How many knows about that authority? It said in the last part of this, David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I've preached along these lines before about how that there's goodness and mercy following me. How many is glad for that? I want to touch first on this before I go into that part of the scripture. I've looked at this scripture again, and we realize, how many knows the goodness of God is just unimaginable? He's a good God, isn't he? How many knows his mercy endures? We realize that, don't we? And I tell you what, I want to take this one more step, and then I'll get back and talk about God's goodness and mercy. I want to take this one more step. I believe he intends for us to do the same. Goodness is a quality of being good, praiseworthy of character, moral excellence. When we're speaking about ourselves, this is what goodness is about. What about mercy? The aspect of God's love that causes him to help the miserable. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 5, as I'm going to talk about us just a minute here. Matthew chapter 5, if you can find that. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the meek. I'm sorry, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Wow. Is he talking about me there? David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But not only is God's goodness and mercy following me, we're going to have to put some of that out ourselves. If there's anybody in this world that should have some goodness, it ought to be me and you. If there's anybody that should have some character that someone could look and say, that's a godly man or that's a godly woman, it ought to be a blood-bought child of the King. Now, we don't set ourselves on some kind of pedestal up here, but we Pentecostals, if there's anybody spiritual, it ought to be us. If there's anybody that's going to show some mercy to those in this world, it ought to be us. He said, for those that are blessed are those that obtain mercy, are those that give mercy. So many times, if we're not careful, we find ourselves not wanting to be merciful. We find it in the scriptures that mercy is the aspect of God's love that causes him to help those that are miserable. How many has ever been miserable? Maybe you're here this morning feeling, I'm in that spot right now. I got good news for you. David had good news for us in Psalm 23. How many is glad for what the Lord said? Is anybody here realizing that goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life? Have you ever stopped to think about what God's goodness has done for you? Has anybody had anything good happen to you? You may be sitting there thinking, there's nothing good going on in my life right now. I want to encourage you right now. It may be that case in your life now. I want to encourage you to go back and look at something that's been good that's happened in your life. David was found himself in despair. Come to that city of Ziklag, and the city had been burnt down. His family was gone. They were railing against him. David was so distressed that the word said he cried that he couldn't cry no more. But David put the ephod on, and he began to encourage himself. How many realizes there comes a time you've got to encourage yourself? Sometimes there's nobody around to say, come on, let's serve God a little bit longer. Come on, let's realize that he is who he says he is. And sometimes we have to encourage ourselves a little bit. But David found himself, if I'd have been David, I'd have kind of looked back and said, I remember that time. While he's there in despair. Can somebody say goodness and mercy is after me? While David was sitting there in despair and felt like there was no hope, nobody with him, lost everything he had. And everybody railing against him. If he could have stopped just a moment and looked back at the time that he was just a boy. And he felt something on the inside, Barney. Brother Barney, that was going to encourage him to be something greater. Through the help of his Lord and Savior. And as he runs down to the battle of Goliath as Goliath was roaring. Anybody ever felt like Goliath was roaring against your life, your home, against your family, against your life? Anybody been there? David found himself, and he realized that as a young boy, Brother Bobby, he had found himself in a position guarding the sheep. Sometimes folks want big elaborate things to go on in their life, and really sometimes we just need to be a good sheep herder. Sometimes when you do those things, it's not all that looks like it is. And can I tell you this? I've seen folks out there that's in musical groups and singing groups and things along that line. And we done a little bit of that in our earlier years. And everybody on the outside looked, and all they could see was what happened right then. They didn't see what was behind the scenes. Somebody might look at a pastor and say, oh my gosh, it's a great thing. You know what I would vote for? I would vote for everybody to be a pastor at least for 1 year. But I can't find that in the scriptures. What I said is this. It's not the place that you're John Hagee or Rod Parsley. It might be that you're just someone to open the door for somebody, just to help somebody along the way. And God is just as much in that as He is in anything else. He doesn't look at our status as what the world would look at. He doesn't look at that at all. He looks at you and I as an individual. And I can tell you right now, he's as very much important and concerned about the wayfaring stranger out there on the road that doesn't have a vehicle to drive, it doesn't have anything else, as he is the one that has a nice home and the nice vehicles. David found himself out there, and he was battling a lion, and he took care of the lion. Then Brother Barney, along come a bear to get against and take apart and try to steal some of the sheep that David was over. And David found himself, he was able to slay that bear because of one reason, because God was on his side. Now you think you can make it in this world without God, you're fooling yourself. There's no way, you and I especially, we're gonna make heaven. There's not but one way, and that's through Jesus. We know that. But David found himself in a position of everything gone and in despair and so depressed he couldn't even cry. He had to encourage himself. Nobody to say, come on, Brother David, you remember that time God used you. Nobody was there to say that. So David encouraged himself, and can I realize this? And in Psalm 23, he penned these words, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Praise God. Can somebody say goodness and mercy's following me? But David found himself coming and realized that there was a battle going on. There was a Goliath out there roughshodding over the children of Israel. And he said, boys, is there not a cause? Amen. Can somebody say this morning, is there not a cause? Maybe you find yourself this morning in so despair and so discouraged. Can I ask you this morning, is there not a cause to stand up and realize that God loves you beyond all measure? Instead, we might sit back and say, David could look back and say, I'm just a little boy. There's no way I could do anything about that giant out there. Oh, hallelujah. Can somebody say, my cup's going to run over someday? Anybody here realize the Lord is your shepherd? David realized one thing, that he had somebody on his side that was going to go with him through everything he encountered. It didn't matter that Goliath was 9 feet tall. It didn't matter that David was a ruddy boy, probably 14 years old, fair complected, and all he had was a little bitty rock and a little sling. Oh, is somebody with me here this morning? Praise God. We got to realize there's somebody with you. You've got to realize, I've got to realize, I've got strength through my Lord and Savior. It's not that I have the ability. It's because I am available that God can use me and will help me when I call on Him. David runs up to the battle and shouts loud. You know how the story happened? And it wasn't a story. This is an actual happenings. There was actually a giant. Well, didn't history say he's about 9 feet tall? Is that right? Something along that line. There was one spot right here that he didn't have any covering. Are you with me? Do you think David knew that? I really doubt it.
I think that David just knew one thing. He had somebody on his side. And I believe David could say right then, I'm not sure when this was penned or what the case might have been there, but David could have said, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Praise God. Surely there's somebody behind me. Surely there's somebody with me. Can you say it this morning when you go through the battle of your life and you face the giant that you see that's impossible? I'm here to tell you right now, there's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible to them that believe. David realized one thing. He was serving a God that helped him in the small things. You may be here this morning. You went through some small things. And you can go back and say, right here, God helped me. And you're right now facing that giant. Tell the devil right now. Tell him right now. Hey, somebody follow me. There's somebody after me. It's goodness and it's mercy. Oh, they're following right now. I can't get away from them. It doesn't matter how bad it may seem. I've got somebody after me. David said, boys, as his big brothers come passing him by, can I tell you this? Walking for God's not for sissies. Not for crybabies. Those who don't want to take some kind of responsibility, it isn't for you. Those who don't want to stand up when everybody's against you, that's not for you. But for those that want to be victorious and see God reign and rule in your life and in your home and see your life be blessed and see your family be blessed, that's the ones that you need to be in God's side. David stood up. He runs his brothers back past him. He said, boys, there's a cause here. He realized one thing. He was serving a God that was well able. And I still say this. This is me thinking. I can't find scripture where it says that David aimed at the forehead of the giant. I can find scripture where it says David picked up 5 smooth stones. I can read the scripture where he said, this day, amen, this day, Goliath, I'll have your head. Praise God. You may come to me with slinging stone, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Can I say one more time? Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me in the midst of the battle that you see no way to get through. You see no way to get overcome this, but my God knows where you need to be. Glory to God. Goodness and mercy. Follow David. The Word of God said that he was a man after God's own heart. It wasn't because he was perfect. We can find sins. It was horrendous in David's life. And I think, my God, how could David have been so blind to not realize he was doing wrong? But somehow, some way, the devil is the deceiver. How many knows that? But praise God. He said, God, my God said that David was a man after his own heart. Why I believe this is because David didn't blame nobody. He accepted what he done. And praise God, he repented of his sins and God restored him. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. Surely, even though I'm in despair, even though my baby that was conceived, died. Even though my son turned against me. Even though I had heartache and sorrow. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Can I tell you right now, you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. My God, for his children, he loves you. And do you realize this? That his mercy brings us to repentance. That's how merciful he is. I go back again. What are we doing? Are we dispersing goodness and mercy in our lives towards others? Are we being, our character being the way it should be? Are we able? Can I step out on our toes a minute here? Because I've been doing plenty of this here lately. Are we able to step out and say, I'm sorry if I've offended. I'm sorry if I've said something I shouldn't. Are we able to do that? Are we able to show that goodness that we're going to have to show that someone can look and see there's something different in me? Not to bring glory to me, but to bring glory to God. And mercy. Can we give mercy? Can we give compassion and love to those that have willfully sinned? What about those that have done things wrong to us? Whew. Let's get out there and get deep with this. What about those that have misused us? What about those that have said things they shouldn't say? What about those that have absolutely cheated their life? Whatever the case may be, can we give that mercy? Blessed are those that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
hard not to get on this mercy without getting on forgiveness, isn't it? All ties together. Gifts that God gives us. Surely, goodness and mercy. So follow us. David found himself, as we look at goodness real quick here. Goodness in Romans 2 and 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He was so good to me, as David was saying, goodness and mercy is following me. In spite of me, he still follows me. Are you glad for that this morning? How are we going to obtain mercy except we give mercy? How are we going to give forgiveness and receive? How are we going to receive forgiveness if we don't give forgiveness? How many wants to be in God's walk that he wants us to be? How many wants to be able to be like David? Now, I can tell you this right now. We're going to have to realize this. We're not going to go through this life without having some kind of heartache or some kind of sorrow. Can you find me the scripture where it says that the blood-bought child of the king will have no troubles? It isn't there. You can't find where it says that, well, you go repent of your sins and have your sins forgiven, you'll have no more problems. It doesn't say that anywhere. But it does say, I'll give you strength to be an overcomer. I'll go with you to the very end. I'll be that strength. He said, we'll be an overcomer by the word of our testimony. All these promises he tells us, he will do. He also can apply Psalms 23 to us. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. How many wants that goodness and mercy after you? Hallelujah. We realize today that there's a world out there, a devil out there trying to stop you from being blessed. Do you realize that? But we're serving a God that wants to bless us in the middle. I can tell you right now, God's not shook up. He's not scared. He's not confused about what's going on in this world today. You realize that? The electronics and all the technology that mankind's come up with, that doesn't have God concerned. He still knows what we need, and he's still able to go with us. Goodness and mercy will follow. Let's drop over to Psalms 34 and 8. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or if you're listening by tape somewhere today in the future, listen to this scripture here. Psalms 34 and 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Aren't you glad for that? Goes back to trusting in him. And I know David trusts in the Lord. How about you this morning? Maybe you're in troubled times. Maybe problems are really coming against you. You can go over to Nahum over there, and it says that Lord is good. He's a good, he's a stronghold in a time of trouble. And he knows those that trust him. You realize that he knows who's trusting him. Anybody here trust the Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Surely, goodness and mercy. Has anybody ever felt like goodness and mercy was following you? Have you ever felt like that just you're blessed more than you deserve? I feel like that every day. I look back and I see nothing I've done to deserve any of these good things God's given me. Has anybody here feel like you've done anything to deserve it? Nothing have we ever done or can we ever do. You know why he does it? It's because he loves us. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. How many believes that he's going to follow you and give you strength? I want to ask you to stand with us this morning. Have our musicians come. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. For surely, goodness and mercy will follow me. Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just praise you this morning. I ask that you'd move, Lord, if there be one this day that needs your strength. We just pray, God, that you'll manifest yourself in this altar service with them today. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Move today. Touch lives today in this service. This morning,